and world news.
Today, Thursday, May 1st, is the feast of St. Joseph the Worker. And these are today's headlines. Cardinal Leonardo Sandri focuses on the resurrection in his homily for the fifth Novum Dialis Mass for Pope Francis. For the first time, more than 120 cardinals are expected to take part in a conclave. And as we continue to remember Pope Francis, Edmonton's Archbishop Richard Smith reflects on the late Pope's legacy. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. On Wednesday evening, Cardinal Leonardo Sandri opened his homily during the fifth Novum Dialis Mass by proclaiming Christ is risen. The Cardinal explained that the Novum Dialis Mass is not just a time of mourning, but a moment for the Church to come together, to pray, to remember, and to reaffirm its faith in the resurrection. The cardinals, he said, gathered not only as collaborators of the Pope, but also carrying with them the prayers of people from all over the world, from Tonga to Mongolia, from Tehran to Jerusalem, and from places where Christians are a small but faithful presence, such as Morocco and Algeria. We are called each day to remember and consciously live the truth that to reign is to serve, the cardinal said, quoting Pope Francis, while stressing that it is with this spirit that the late Pope lived his papacy, through his actions, his journeys, and his constant care for those on the margins. Bringing his homily to a close, Cardinal Sandri noted that Pope Francis had already left a vision for the future of the Church. In the Bull of Indiction for the 2025 Jubilee, he looked ahead to another major anniversary, the 2,000 years anniversary since the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus Christ, which will occur in 2033. This holy year will guide the path of Christians, Cardinal Sandri said, so that spiritually we may all become pilgrims to the Holy Land and proclaim once again, the Lord is truly risen and has appeared to Simon. The cardinals preparing to elect the next pope have requested the prayers of all Catholics for their discernment as they recognize the weight of their choice next week. The Church's prayer is exactly what opens us to the Holy Spirit, who seeks to lead us to new horizons, says Dominican Father Sylvain de Tocque. The French-born theologian said that without the power of prayer, the Church would be no different from a charitable NGO. Devin Watkins tells us more.
Don't forget to pray for me. Those were the words with which the late Pope Francis would always conclude his homilies and various speeches. 7 days before the start of the conclave to elect his successor, on the eve of the Marian month of May, the College of Cardinals released a declaration inviting the faithful to pray for their discernment in choosing the next pope. The cardinals described prayer as a true strength capable of fostering the unity of all members in the one body of Christ. Dominican Father Sylvain de Tocque, a French-born professor of theology in Rome and Toulouse, spoke to Vatican Radio about the cardinals' invitation and their need for the prayer of the Universal Church. He said the Holy Spirit is the source of unity in the Church, and he opens us up to the harmony to which Jesus called his disciples. Without prayer, said Father de Tocque, the Church would be no different than a charitable NGO, which could do some good, but no more. Yet the Holy Spirit takes us beyond the human calculations of progressive versus conservative and into the supernatural dimension of faith. It is not merely a human matter of electing a leader, said Father de Tocque. There is an opening of the heart to a work that surpasses us, that comes from above us, beyond us. He pointed out that the cardinal's request for prayers recognized that they function as a vital organ for the Church's body during this interregnum period without a pope. Here we sense that without the whole body, something might fail, noted Father de Tocque. What the cardinals are doing is for the sake of the entire living body animated by the Holy Spirit. The French-born Dominican theologian recalled that May is called the Marian month, saying that Mary continues to pray for the Church just as she did in the upper room when the apostles huddled in fear after Jesus' death. The Church senses this need to come together in unanimous prayer, the prayer of the little ones, the prayer of the humble, said Father de Tocque. The cardinals, he concluded, are discerning what the Holy Spirit is saying to the Church today. Our job, he said, is to pray that they might listen well. I'm Devin Watkins.
A confirmed 133 of the 135 cardinal electors are expected to participate in the upcoming conclave to elect the next successor of St. Peter. Based on a paragraph in the Apostolic Constitution Universi Dominici Gregis, which regulates conclaves, the limit of voting cardinals is 120, 13 fewer than what the College of Cardinals has announced will be participating next week. However, the number of cardinals in the college has often exceeded the limit, despite the regulations laid down in UDG. Kelsey Gussie tells us a little bit more.
It was on October 1st, 1975, that Pope Paul VI first established the rule that the maximum number of cardinal electors shall not exceed 120 in the Apostolic Constitution Romano Pontifici Eligendo. Prior to this, in the consistory of 1969, the College of Cardinals reached 134 electors. Despite Pope John Paul II confirming the rule limiting the number to 120, recent popes have created more cardinals, exceeding this number. This was the case on four occasions for the Polish Pope: in the consistory of June 28, 1988, February 21, 1998, February 21, 2001, and October 21, 2003. After Pope John Paul II's death, the conclave opened on April 18, 2005, with the College of Cardinals consisting of 183 cardinals, 117 electors, and 66 non-electors. This continued with Pope Benedict XVI, who exceeded the 120 number of cardinal electors on two occasions, when he resigned in 2013, and with the ensuing conclave, the College of Cardinals consisted of 207 cardinals, but only 117 were electors. Exceeding this number continued with Pope Francis as he followed suit and made the college number greater than 120 in 10 consistories throughout his 12-year pontificate. Despite a history of exceeding the 120 limit, this 2025 conclave will be the first time one will take place with more than 120 cardinal electors. The College of Cardinals released a declaration on April 30th recognizing the right of all 133 electors to participate in the upcoming conclave, and they determined that the legislative provision of the UDG had been dispensed from by Pope Francis when the set limit had been surpassed. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
And briefly in world news, a state of emergency has been declared in Israel following what are being described as the country's largest ever fires. Joseph Tulloch has that story.
A vast fire fueled by raging winds and extreme temperatures is ravaging the forested area around Jerusalem. The risk, which was mentioned by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in a video released by his office, is that the flames could easily spread to the suburbs and even to the centre of the Holy City. Today, the 1st of May, is the day on which Israel celebrates its Independence Day, and all scheduled events have been cancelled, and the country has declared a state of emergency. "We are facing perhaps the biggest fire that has ever broken out in the country," said Jerusalem Fire Department Commander Shmulik Friedman. "We have," he continued, "no idea what caused it. I can say that after the first fires, several other fires were started by arsonists in other locations." End of quote. According to Israeli media, around 7,000 people have been evacuated. There is currently no evidence, however, that the fire was started deliberately. The Israeli Domestic Intelligence Agency, Shin Bet, is involved in the investigation. Israeli police have announced the arrest of a man in East Jerusalem. He was caught by witnesses trying to set fire to brushwood hours after the first fires began to spread. The Israeli broadcaster N12 also reported another two arrests. The Israeli foreign minister, meanwhile, has requested international assistance, contacting his counterparts in Italy, the UK, France, the Czech Republic, Sweden, Argentina, Spain, North Macedonia and Azerbaijan. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who is following the evolution of the crisis from his country's emergency unit, announced the imminent arrival of two Canadair aircraft from Italy and one from Croatia. It's also reported that Ukraine will be sending an aircraft to help fight the flames. Ein Kerem Hospital in Jerusalem has urged citizens to visit the facility only in case of absolute necessity. The staff have also evacuated non-critical patients and prepared to receive the injured, while dozens are reported to be suffering from smoke inhalation. And for the very first time in the country's history, broadcaster Channel 12 has announced live on air that it is evacuating its studio. I'm Joseph Tarek.
And finally, we continue to bring you the recollections of Pope Francis from church and world leaders. In 2022, Archbishop Richard Smith hosted Pope Francis in Edmonton on the first leg of the Holy Father's penitential pilgrimage to Canada. In this interview with Vatican Radio, Archbishop Smith, who's been recently appointed as Archbishop of Vancouver, looks back on the legacy of Pope Francis.
It's the legacy of listening and learning how to listen. That's part of his legacy. And again, this came to the fore in the context of the papal visit, where the Pope himself made a point of listening in order to hear the other. We have this tendency, it seems today more and more, to listen in order to react or to talk over or to counsel. But no, listen in order to hear, in order really to manifest respect for the dignity of the other, to show that the story of the other is worthy of being heard, and so on. And that's really at the heart of the whole synodal process, too, as I think of this, that the Pope has wanted to establish as part of his legacy. How do we listen? And how do we listen well? I think, too, he called right from the outset of his papacy for a revolution of tenderness. That's a phrase that struck me. We're in a harsh climate now in so many areas of the world, one of mutual aggression. Again, the world seems unable to find its way out of that, regardless of all diplomatic efforts, political efforts, and so on. The call to be tender with one another, what's that look like? How's that going to feel? How do we listen to one another and then tenderly respond, respectfully respond to whatever hurt may come out to our awareness through that listening process? And I guess the final thing, and he signaled this early on from the outset of his papacy, when he talked about the church as a field hospital, the need to heal the wounds, I hope that remains in our consciousness too, because the papal visit showed us, but we're seeing it in so many different ways. We see it in our parishioners in parishes, we see it in families, we see it in the world today. There's so much hurt, there's so much pain. How do we tenderly attend to the other, listen to them, and work under God's grace to bring healing to those wounds? That's really, I think, at the heart of what we need to be doing as a society and as a world. And the Pope signaled that from the outset. So respectful listening, walking tenderly with one another, and then being prepared to acknowledge our own woundedness and reach out to others to bring healing under grace to theirs.
And that is Archbishop Richard Smith of Edmonton, who has recently been designated as the new Archbishop of Vancouver, Canada. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Reminder, you can join us each evening at 5 p.m. Rome time for the Novum Dialis Mass for the repose of the soul of Pope Francis. And for more on these and other stories, we do invite you to visit our Vatican News web portal at www.vaticannews.va, as well as our Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram pages. Many thanks this afternoon. Go to our sound engineers in studio in the Vatican. I'm Christopher Wells.